This isn't Footloose, Cam. Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Cam Clement. Here's what you need to know. You need to know that Tyler Kleven practice spoke to the media today. We'll play that for you. I know you heard it earlier, but we'll play it again for you a little bit later on in the program. As the Ottawa Senators are now in flight to New Jersey to take on the Devils tomorrow night. The Devils in action tonight. So Ottawa will be there while watching the New Jersey Devils and the Buffalo Sabres play tonight at 7 o'clock. The Islanders are in Columbus, Arizona, visits Colorado. Alec Manoah named the starter for the Blue Jays opening day against the Cardinals coming up next week. The World Match Play Championships going on, and the group play continues. And a bunch of Canadians playing. Most of them, unfortunately, are eliminated already. But Mackenzie Hughes, he is still alive, and he needs to win and have a little bit of help to force some playoffs. And for Mackenzie Hughes, he just won 6-4 against Taylor Montgomery. So we'll see if he advances coming up in the next little bit. The Raptors play tonight at home against Detroit, and March Madness continuing. Alabama and San Diego State University, Miami, Houston, Princeton, and Creighton, Xavier, and Texas, all tonight on the March Madness schedule. And the Ottawa 67s tonight at home against the Peterborough Petes. Last weekend of the regular season before they go into their playoffs starting at the Slush Puppy Center. The same place where the Gatineau Olympique will begin their first round series as two of the very best teams in the country. The Gatineau Olympique, the best team in the country. That's a little bit, Graham, of what you need to know on a Friday afternoon. I'm starting to get excited about junior hockey. I've been excited about it, but just watching what Gatineau has done to rise to the number one team in the country and realizing that the 67s, I don't care where they are in the country's rankings, they're one of, if not the best team in the OHL. And with the fight that we've talked to a couple of junior hockey people this week on The Drive, Lee Cunningham joined us, the voice of the Sarnia Sting, just called his 1,500th game. But Sarnia, Windsor, and London, they're all within 3 points, the top of the Western Conference. They're all going to fight each other. I know Ottawa won't have it easy, but they have an easier path to get to the final than some of the teams in the West who are all really, really good. Like, Sarnia's lost one time to a Western Conference team since January 1st. And they're like 13-0-1. They're not in first place in the conference. That's how good some of the other teams are. But imagine Ottawa and Gatineau going to Kamloops.
That'd be bonkers. That'd be super cool.
Right? Like, it's always possible, but I don't know if it's as likely as it is this year that could happen. They are legitimately the best teams in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League and the Ontario Hockey League. Ottawa and Gatineau are the best teams. So is it a possibility for them to get there? It'll be hard. Of course it will be. But imagine if both of them are on their way to Kamloops.
What a cool story that would be. I'm with you. Like, I've already been excited, and from a 67's perspective, it's because, going back to losing in the OHL final and then having a terrific season where you're the favorite to go to the Memorial Cup from the OHL, and season is cut down because of COVID, then having the season cut off. Like, just so much, it feels, and even though it's a completely different group for the most part, it feels like unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gatineau, just the tear that they've been on. super cool as well. So I've already been excited for it. I disagree with you that I'm not excited right now. It just feels like, especially for the 67, it's nothing to play for. Like, they've locked up number one. They just want to finish off well and healthy and then get to this. So I'll be pumped up when they get to the playoffs. I'm just kind of like, all right, let's get on with this weekend.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. Just really excited about what those teams.
I've never been to Slush Puppy Center either. I'm gonna have to head out for a couple of games, or maybe I'll just get Gatineau, and then I'll wait and watch Barber Pools back at TD Place.
Choices, the best thing. The Quebec Major Junior Hockey League still does 1-16.
Yeah.
In their playoffs,
you love it, eh?
I love it, and you know what? I love it, and it's probably hard on some of the travel, especially with the bus trips. You look down right now, and I know there's some teams fighting for the last couple of spots. Val d'Or, Montreal, and St. John. I know it's not Montreal, Blainville, but it's Montreal. But some of the travel can be brutal, but the discrepancy in the teams, if you finish near the top, you deserve to have an advantage. I love it. I like 1-16. I think they should do it in the NHL as well. But I did hear Brad Marchand yesterday, talking about 1-8. And thinks that they should go back to 1-8 and having the top three teams, Boston, Toronto, and Tampa, and one of them is going to be out in the first round. I love that this is coming from Brad Marchand right now, because it doesn't benefit, like, they actually have a bit of a benefit by not playing Tampa or Toronto, right? So this isn't coming from some place where they're stuck in the division and all of a sudden they have to play somebody. You have top three teams in one division. You have three teams that should be going deep. Two are playing against each other in the first round, so I think we should go back to 1-8. This week, Graham, Connor McDavid's best on best. He's talking about best on best, and we haven't had it yet. And Brad Marchand, one of the other league's best players, is talking about this playoff format sucks. And you know what? Everyone loves the NHL playoffs.
Yeah,
but it sucks.
I'll say this, okay? Number one, bet 100% with McDavid. Like, come on, Gary, wake up.
Well, I hope somebody asks him on Monday.
Hope so, too. As far as, like, I want to see, I'm a fan of 1-8. It's just probably because that's what I grew up with. And if you have the two divisions and you're rewarding the division winners, there's only two, right? There's not that ugly cousin third division winner that is 30 points behind the sixth seed that they're going to be playing in the first round. But you're not going to have, like, maybe one of the division winners might not be the actual second best team, but they'll be pretty close. In terms of the opponents, like, Boston's still going to, if we're 1-8 right now, the Maple Leafs are still playing the Rangers, who are better than Tampa in the standings anyways. And if 1-4, 1-4 all win, Boston's playing Toronto in the second round anyways.
Okay, but this is not the point. The point is right now you'd have races. You have Jersey 98, Leafs 95, Rangers 94, Lightning 90. Those positions can switch. So it's great that you can say that today, but if you want home ice, if you don't want to face a certain team, you don't have the opportunity to do that. The fact that the Lightning and the Leafs have known for 2 months that they're going to play each other is ridiculous. Stupid. You wouldn't have that because teams can move up or down very, very quickly. And then look at the bottom, right? With the Islanders and the Penguins and the Panthers, and you don't know who's going to be there. Boston wouldn't know who they're going to play.
It's still the same thing.
I know, but the West is probably a better example. look at the West and how close it is.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with the divisional format for the West right now. Like, if you look at the wild card system in the Western Conference, all of Dallas, Minnesota, and Colorado can still win the Central. All of Vegas, Los Angeles, and Edmonton can all win the Pacific. Like, the top six teams, all the top six teams in the West, the sixth place team, can still win the conference. That like, one versus eight or wild card, it's still the same scenario where teams are going to be flip-flopping back and forth until the season is over.
Should go 1-16. I just like that Brad Marchand came out and said it.
1-16 is... It would be fun, but yeah, it's just not something that's ever going to happen with the travel.
Okay, I know the answer to that, and you're right, okay? When I start this conversation, I'll start it with Graham. You are right. I am so sick of the travel. Like, it's so hard to get on these charters and...
Speak to players that play for teams like San Jose or whatever.
Yeah, well, I'll speak to the players who went 1-16 back in the day and traveled commercial. I'll speak to those guys.
What if you go 2-3-2?
I would give the team the advantage of picking a little bit more of the schedule. I wouldn't go 3 in the middle because I think that actually does give the road team an advantage, Cam. If you win one of the first two games, you feel really good about going back home for the next three. I think I'd alternate the schedule even a little bit more and go like 1-3, something like that, where you, maybe the team starts on the road
You're
or they get to pick.
Crazy now.
No, I don't know what the advantage. Give teams that finish atop the advantage and give it to them in a number of ways. If a team doesn't like traveling a little bit more in the playoffs, then don't finish 16th. You know what I mean? Like, stop with all this commercial. Teams used to travel commercial, and they used to play 1-16. And guess what? The best team still won. Like, the Islanders won, and the Oilers won. The best team still got to exactly where they wanted to be. And I'm a big proponent of the fact, and I've said this a lot, and I'll say it again, I know they had great players, okay? I know the LA Kings and the Chicago Blackhawks, when they won the Stanley Cup in the last decade, had a lot of great players on their team. But a lot of teams have a lot of great players. You talk to any of those guys, and you hear what they say about, like, the Chicago Blackhawks, in all the years that they won, traveled more than any team in the National Hockey League. They were in the Western Conference, and every team they had to play was out in California, and it was out. And you know what? It didn't make a lick of difference because they won the Stanley Cup. And the LA Kings had the second most travel when they won the Stanley Cup every year that they played. Only one team in the league traveled more than they did. And they won the Stanley Cup three times. Like, come on. Teams that are out there on the road and they're together for a lot of time, there's some positives to them being together all the time. I just can't.
I hear you.
It's really hard for me to hear the travel stuff.
It's not something that I care to like. And I know there's so many different topics that we get into, and it like we're killing 4 hours of radio for sure. But it's just this one, the 1-16, is just something that we know is not going to happen. So I just don't put too much passion into fighting one way or another for it.
So 1-8. Can we get there?
That's what I would love to see.
All right.
That's what I've wanted to see. I know. Isn't your preference that the favorites pick? Like, if you finish first, you pick who you play.
I would love that.
That's what you see. That again. That's not going to happen either. But
so why would that not happen?
I'm not going to have that.
Why?
Name a place where that happens.
Sweden.
In what?
In hockey.
Okay, so I meant like a professional...
Sweden, the Swedish Professional Hockey League. They pick their opponents.
Professional North American sports.
Oh, now it's North America.
That's what I was going to say the whole time.
All right.
Of course, there's leagues all over the world that would do something different.
The Swedish Elite League's a pretty good league.
I'm not trying to say that it's not a good league.
Okay.
So just saying in North America where they're selling these games to, and you just talked about curling and why they couldn't bump up back curling 2 weeks because of TV.
What does that have to do with picking your opponents?
My point is that they're selling to the North American fan, and it doesn't happen in any North American league.
So we're going to go because it's never happened before, it should never happen in the future? That's our reason?
It's not something that happens anywhere. The NHL is never, you know what? Let's be leaders in this, and let's... You finish first, you get to pick who you want to play in the playoffs. I agree with you. It'd be cool, especially if they televise, I don't know,
which they do.
Spartacat being like, hey, I can't speak, so I'm going to write down on a whiteboard, and we choose Buffalo, first round. I think it'd be cool. And then, like, the team that's the underdog, okay, they think we're the worst team. Let's go smoke these dudes.
Right.
I think it would be cool. It's just not going to happen.
But what would actually be true, so what you're just talking about would happen. The underdogs would go, man, can you believe they picked us? But in the back of their minds, they would know, you know why they picked us? Because we don't match up very well against them. And they destroy us every time we play them because we certain teams just don't match up against other teams. And the advantage would be, and everyone talks about the underdogs, the advantage would be as the number one team, if you get stuck with somebody, and I made this point a couple weeks ago, if the Ottawa Senators were to make the playoffs, they would be number one, the hottest team in the NHL, right? Like, to be able to get to the playoffs, they would have to,
yeah.
In 2 months, they would have to be one of, if not the hottest team in the entire league.
So Boston might not pick them because A, they're hot, B, they play pretty well against them.
Right.
No, I get your thing.
And Boston might go,
I think it's neat, for sure.
Boston might go, hey, you know what? We might enjoy a series against...
Let's take Pittsburgh. They're struggling.
Yeah, but again, you match up against certain teams, and that would be okay.
I get everything you're saying. I'm
so let's do it. Let's talk this into... Talk this
you know what? Ask Gary on Monday.
I got a lot to ask Gary now. I just don't see what the downside is to it, because I actually do believe with all the... You can talk about the drama and the TV and the underdogs having that chip on their shoulder. It, more than almost anything, gives an advantage to the number one seed to go, this is who we match up best against. It gives us the advantage. And I think teams would like that advantage. I think if you actually got them behind closed doors to say, you know, we would love to face...
How many teams would have been avoiding the Kings that year when they got in as the 8th seed?
Right.
I'm agreeing with you.
Anyway.
Let's talk about quickly something realistic. The Western Conference playoff race. Like, is there something that you're... that's drawing your attention the most? Because, like, Dallas, Minnesota, Colorado, separated by 4 points. Like, is there a matchup you want to see there? Is it Vegas, LA, Edmonton, separated by 6 points? Something specific you want to see there? Like, because there's not a lot to look at in the Eastern Conference. I guess for you, it would be the Metro with Carolina, New Jersey,
yeah,
and the Rangers, and how that shakes out. Like, is there any playoff race that you're kind of focusing on with right now?
It seems weird to say this in the Western Conference. I want Colorado and Edmonton in the Western Conference final. So I'd like matchups to be able to try and get there with those two teams having the ability to meet in the Western Conference final to go to the Stanley Cup, because I think they're the best two teams.
You're rooting for Edmonton and Colorado to win their divisions.
Yes.
And they're both third right now. Colorado is 4 points behind the Stars, but they have two games in hand on both them and Minnesota. And Edmonton, they're in a tougher spot. They're 6 points behind Vegas. They can still do it, but at 6 points with no games in hand is pretty tough.
It is.
Why we're talking about the Senators right now,
yep,
with their scenario being so tough. It's same thing for Edmonton catching Vegas. But I would love to see that happen too, for a different reason. I want to see Quick versus the Kings in round one.
Yep, that'd be great. There are some good matchups that way to look at, but I also go down the road and go, I think Edmonton and Colorado are the two best teams in the West. So I want them.
I'm just not sold on Edmonton's goaltending.
No, I'm not either. But sometimes they just score their way out of trouble. And they've been able to do that. And I think they're ready with last year. I think they're ready to take another step.
The crazy thing is about Vegas, LA, and Edmonton, they're all cooking right now. Like, they're all playing really good hockey. Each of them have won 8 of their past 10 games.
And to answer your question, I would like Jersey to win their division.
Yeah, no kidding. Everyone knows you want that.
Because you know what I don't want? The New York Rangers.
To maybe throw a wrench in your pick up an opponent, theory, yep. Lee, what if, like, do you think it's fair to teams that maybe had a really strong regular season, like, say, the Devils, and yep. maybe they back in a little bit, and then they get stuck with the top team because they think they like their odds against them? Don't you think that's a little unjust?
What do you mean? Like, because they would get to pick third or fourth?
Yeah, it's like, well,
they would be the fourth place team, so they wouldn't really get to pick anybody. They'd just be with the team that was left.
Yeah, like, say the Hurricanes think, you know what, we have a good shot against the Devils, and then the Devils get stuck with the Hurricanes, even though they had a 108-point regular season.
Well, no, because the way it would work, Cam, is the top four would be able to pick, but you'd only be able to pick from the bottom four.
Oh, so now you're adding these rules.
No, it's the same rules. Like, one versus four, like, you finish in the top, number one gets to pick 5, 6, 7, or 8. Then number two gets 6, 7, or 8. One of those.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just bugging you.
Yeah, I know. But that's the way it would work. So the scenario, Cam, that you just presented would not happen. And if you finished fourth and you got stuck with fifth with a team you didn't like, well you should have finished higher.
That's what happens anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So, no, I still really like the theory. I really like what the President of the United States had to say an hour ago. You want to hear it, Graham, when we come back? What Joe Biden had to say?
I'd love to hear it.
It's fantastic. We'll hear that next. And it's relevant here on The Drive on TSN 1200. All right, Mr. 80s man, who's this? Welcome back to The Drive here on TSN 1200. You're an 80s guy, Graham. Leaver's Edge, Graham Creech. Big Canadian band in the 80s. Don't tell him, Cam. Ah, see, I love it. Yeah, you're not an 80s guy.
I'm crickets here. What is this?
It's Platinum Blonde. Yeah. Oh, I love Platinum Blonde. See, Platinum Blonde's right in the Corey Hart wheelhouse in the 80s. And guess what? They all had very spiked platinum blonde hair.
Yeah, no, I knew who Platinum Blonde is. I just didn't. I wouldn't be able to
see
them.
It's okay to not be an 80s guy.
I do enjoy.
But you just claim to be an 80s guy.
I do enjoy 80s music. I just, but Lee, we don't agree on any music, you and I.
Some we do. Like, no, some we
do. For you to pick Corey Hart as, oh yeah, that's the best. Like, come on.
I never said the best. I just said he's 80s.
I'm talking like, what do we got here? Like a Flock of Seagulls. Some Speedwagon.
Yeah, but they're not Canadian.
Why do they have to be Canadian?
We're playing a lot of Canadian 80s bands. Corey Hart, Platinum Blonde. Speaking about Canada and the U.S. and some of the discrepancies, Graham, that we're having right now in our music tastes.
Lover Boy. There we go. We can agree on
Mike Reno. Anytime Mike Reno is brought up, we can agree. Still the best Sens goal song of all time.
Not according to the athletic poll. Is that where you're referring to?
No.
Ah.
I was just referring to when Antoine Vermette scored, when he played here, and they played Loverboy. It was the best goal song, in my opinion.
I thought you were referring to a little chat we heard on In the Box today because of an athletic poll ranking the 29 goal songs in the NHL. And you might ask yourself, why did he say 29 and not 32? Well, three teams have individual goal songs.
Yeah.
Where a player has their choice and what they want to hear
when
they score.
I would do 100 times out of 100.
Yeah, I think it's awesome too.
Here? They used to do it here. They don't anymore. They should.
So
identifiable with certain players.
Where do you think song two ranked? Best goal songs in the NHL out of 29 teams.
Are you going to tell me it's number two?
It's two.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Just because song number two? I was able
no,
to put
because
that
people love it, apparently.
Song number two is number two. That's how
I wasn't asking you because of...
Yeah.
I was more asking you because I didn't expect it to be that high. I
so feel what like was we number one?
Number one was Lithium. Kraken. Grunge. You don't like it? I think it's perfect for them.
Yeah, but it's the flavor of the week because the Kraken are now in National Hockey League. In 5 years, will it be number one? No. I don't like it.
Well, 26 years later, song two is number two.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's staying power right there. And I can tell you.
Every time we talk Ghoul song, a lot of like fans chime in complaining that they're bored of it. So I was shocked to see that that was number two. And fans, like,
I guess, hardcore fans who have heard it over and over.
Well, no, Conus Vita was reading, like, readers were the ones that contributed to this, but then they'd have writers that weigh in and offer comment, and they had the comments. So Conus Vita was reading a bunch of the comments, and, like, people from all across the league that weren't Sens fans were like, oh, yeah, great song. And I don't know.
It's very identifiable, and I can tell you, as a guy, before I worked in Ottawa, the first time I ever came to a Senators game, I came to three Sens games, Graham. Do you know what year? No, I was already working here, incredibly. Makes me sound not very good, but I was already working here in 2001. First three games I ever came to? 1998.
Yeah, I know.
Games three, four, and six. And I can tell you how many games the Devils won. Zero of those games.
I was at two of those games.
And the song number two was immediately stuck in my brain from all of those games. Like, just as this is who Ottawa is. Not knowing I would ever come here to work for 22 and a half years after that. That was my first experience, and it was, like, just stuck in my head, and, yeah, it's very identifiable to Ottawa. So I think that that staying power is really cool. I think a lot of people here in the city know that the president of the United States, Joe Biden, is here. And speaking at Parliament, here's Joe Biden, who got off on a little bit of a sports tangent while he was speaking earlier today.
Our labor unions cross borders. So do our sports leagues. Baseball, basketball, hockey. Listen to this, hockey. I have to say, I like your teams except the Leafs. They beat the Flyers back in January. That's why. And if I didn't see that, I married a Philly girl. If I didn't say that, I'd be sleeping alone, fellas. I like you, but not that much.
So there's Joe Biden talking earlier today, but likes everyone in the country except the Leafs.
I saw Frank Saravalli tweet the audio, and he included the quote, "I like everyone except for the Leafs," like what you just said. It's like, oh, nice. When you hear the clip, and it's like, because they beat the Leafs in January, or the Flyers in January? Okay. Everybody beat the Flyers.
You could have left it at...
Yeah.
And he got a standing O.
Yeah, mic drop. Don't say anything more.
He got a standing O from those that were there listening to him speak. Like, people stood up and started clapping. Just leave it, Joe.
Yeah.
Don't go into your wife's a Philly...
Costanza it.
Yeah.
That's it for me!
Feels like he should have walked away.
Yeah.
A little earlier. But still, any shot at the Leafs.
Yeah. My
president
point is, it didn't really
States?
Feel like a shot anymore. Well, because they beat them.
I agree. But when you play it next time as a producer, you'll just cut the rest
off.
Yeah,
100% clipping it.
It's okay that the president does that, right? In the middle of speaking. Some people have an issue with it. I think it's all right. I just don't love the reasoning, as you said. He finds one game that the Leafs beat Philadelphia, like a good team beat a bad team one time in the regular season, and that's what you're using? Come on. You're right. Would have been so much better if he just left it after except the Leafs. Questions? Nope. I'm moving on to another topic. Well, we'll see if Commissioner Gary Bettman and Bill Daly who roll into town on Monday. Monday should be an interesting day around here with some of the parties, potential buyers being here, and we'll see what Mr. Bettman has to say. We know that the mayor, Mark Sutcliffe, is meeting with him, and sounds like the process is... It's hard to know what's true and what's not true, but at least it sounds like it's moving forward at a pretty good pace, which I think, to me, is what fans should take from all of it, is that regardless of what he says, he really probably won't tell you all that much. He'll only tell you what he wants you to know and maybe not the real story, but the fact that he's here and the potential buyers are here means it's moving along at the pace that I think you'd hope for. So, take a break. Another look at traffic and weather. We haven't even talked basketball yet. Haven't talked baseball yet. Vanessa Sanchez, the host of She's Got Game.
Interesting that you're teeing her up right now, because what I was going to ask you, obviously she's big into college football.
Yep.
And I think that's how this relationship started with her coming on Fridays. Yep. Is she huge into college hoops?
She does love her college hoops, and especially with some of the Canadians that are still in March Madness with their teams. I think UConn would be the team to look for right now. But the co-host of She's Got Game with Michaela Schreider, that particular program, of course, coming on at 6 o'clock. So Vanessa will join us at 4:30 as the drive continues on TSN 1200.
Now we're talking.
Once again, showing my age. Theme of the day so far. Welcome back, Lever Sage, Graham Creech, and Cam Clement. First cassette I ever had. This cassette. So who is it, Graham? Oh, come on. No, you don't get to look it up quick. Graham, who is it?
I'm blanking on who sings it. It's Broken Wings.
Yeah? Couldn't even read my screen. Hey, Mr.?
I'm not. Well, Mr., okay.
But I thought we were on the Canadian.
I didn't know you had your
I thought we were on the Canadian.
So you're disappointed?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be Canadian?
We were just on a roll. It doesn't have to be anything. There's no,
I forgot,
no strict rules. But feel like we were going down a good path with Corey Hart and Platinum Blonde. Mr., good 80s band, but not Canadian. But the first cassette I ever had.
Cam, was this your intention today, or did you just kind of start going 80s when Ian, or when Ian?
Wow!
When Lever mentioned it. I don't know where that came
Ian
from.
Ian just popped in his car or wherever he is listening.
Hey, it's he popped. I know he's got a ringette tournament all weekend, but great hearing him back with you guys on Tuesdays.
Don't know.
Makes you like Tuesdays a little bit more, right?
It does. See, some positives. I don't know if they'll be in that tournament all weekend with the way that they've been playing so far.
Wow, look at you. Just
well, I need to bring him down.
The analyst over here.
I need to bring him down. He just popped hard for the fact that he's been gone this long and you're looking at me thinking I'm Ian.
I don't know where that came from.
So, Cam, where did the 80s come from? And are we going to get back to the Canadian role here or no?
The Canadian theme was never my intention. Basically, I just played Sunglasses at Night and it was got rave reviews by you mainly. So then I Googled songs that sound like Sunglasses at Night, and I've been kind of riding that.
I would appreciate I appreciate the 80s sound. We don't have to go all CanCon, I think. We'll agree on that, Lee.
Some good 80s tunes are always good, Canadian or not. As long as we play Haywire before the end of the show. Do you even know who Haywire are? I love the fact that you don't. For those who know, they know. Okay? Some good...
What would be the most popular song?
Oh, Dance Desire. For sure.
Yeah, that's not ringing a bell. It might be something that I recognize when I hear it, but I...
you would laugh at the very beginning of it, because they kind of yell, scream, drop the needle, and then it goes into the song, and... It's very classic 80s. Like, you don't have to listen to it for 2 seconds to realize that this is prime time 80s stuff. So we're going to play Tyler Cleven, coming up. We'll have Vanessa Sanchez. Are there a couple of techs in there? I thought about the Leafs and the president having some things to say.
What do we got in here? This text comes in unsigned. I'm loving the animosity between Creech and Lee. It's like AJ isn't even gone.
There's no animosity here. At least on my part.
No, not on mine either. I'm in a great mood.
How could you not be on a Friday?
Coming off a 7-2 win and Tyler Cleven practicing for the first time. It's all gravy over here. Uncle Chicken Ants is texting. All in on the 80s. Loggins was awesome. Danger Zone, Nobody Fool from Caddyshack 2.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Chicken Ants. Caleb says, I was neutral on the meows, but I enjoy it now that Lee and Josh don't.
You know what, Caleb? I would expect that out of you. I'd expect that out of Graham. I'd expect that out of AJ. So, Caleb, you have now signed up on the Team AJ Creech bandwagon. If you're okay with that.
I don't know if this is from Joe the Lee fan or not. Hey, fellas, great show so far. Lee, can we maybe talk a little bit more about your Toronto Maple Leafs? P.S., thanks for the sends for doing us a favor last night. I'm assuming that's from Joe.
What would the favor be?
Beating Tampa.
So now we're going to think that home ice is going to make a difference in a series that the teams who played against each other last year in seven tough games also...
It is Joe the Leafs fan.
Okay. Seven games last year, and now for 2 months have known they're going to play each other again. I don't care who has home ice.
Yeah, I don't think it makes a massive difference in this scenario, but I will say I'm getting the... It feels like the Lightning are ripe for losing early in the playoffs this year. And maybe there's a switch they can turn on once they get to games that do matter, because obviously they... or the team in the league right now that best knows how to do that. But I don't know. I'm not... And this isn't just because it's 7-2 ass-kicking from the Sens. Like, this goes back the last couple of weeks. Like, just watching them, going back to the game where Point, Stamkos, and Kucherov were benched in the third period. Like, I just...
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's something wrong there, or it maybe just could be too much hockey. Like, they've been to 3 Stanley Cup Finals in a row.
But again...
I just I'd never count them out. Like, I'd never, you know what? Leafs are taking this. They're much better. Like, I'd never count them out.
So you're picking the Leafs in the series right now, because they are going to play each other. So you're picking the Leafs.
I think that's where I'm leaning.
Okay.
The one thing that concerns me about the Leafs is their goaltending and their ability to choke in the postseason.
Well, that's a big concern.
Yeah.
Goaltending and
their
ability
to choke.
That's
why I'm not all in on the Leafs. I'm just saying that I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Tampa right now. Do they still have probably the best goaltender in the league? Do they still have one of the best defensemen in the league? Do they still have two of the best forwards in the league?
Do they have the best coach in the league?
Yeah, but as I think CJ and Lloydie brought this up earlier today, is every coach has a certain shelf life with the team and a group of players, right? Like, maybe how much of the message is kind of, despite all the winning, is getting tired.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I heard them. I understand why they're saying that, but I don't agree. I think, I really do believe, folks, that I understand we live in a day-to-day world and we watch teams day-to-day. If you get caught up in what teams like Tampa or Toronto, for that matter, right now, good or bad, Colorado, 2 games into the playoff series, you'll be wondering, why in the world did I ever question this team in March when it didn't matter? Why? This team's been to 3 straight finals. Who cares how they're playing in March?
And that's what I said in my answer, is maybe they have the ability to turn that switch, play well enough to get you there, and then...
Yeah.
This team obviously knows how to win when it matters. I'm just saying it feels different right now.
Yep. It's going to be a great series.
Plus Toronto, I liked a lot of the moves that Toronto made leading up to the deadline.
I just think sometimes when you have the best coach, the best goalie, the best defenseman, if the Leafs are going to win, they're going to have to win early. Like, they're not going to – you can't go to Game 7 again. You can't. Just too much experience. We'll come back, let you hear a little bit from Tyler Cleven, who spoke to the media today for the first time. And we'll talk a little Sens and Devils coming up tomorrow, and Vanessa Sanchez in the next hour as well. Here on The Drive on TSN 1200.